Not of One Blood by Charles Weissman. This is a TearingDownIdols.com audiobook. This audiobook is free of copyright. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more reading and listening material on a variety of subjects, please visit TearingDownIdols.com. Heredity. There is only one reason that a lion is a lion, and why it stalks its prey and pounces upon defenseless animals, kills them, rips their flesh apart, and eats it. Heredity. The lion can't be anything except a lion. It can't be a deer. It can't even behave like a deer, even if the powers of government and religion try to make it so. The success in life and in the struggle for survival will always depend on the manner in which we deal with the issue of heredity. Go ahead and ignore it. Go to the zoo and pet the lion. After all, the government and the media have told us that it was the lion's environment in Africa that caused him to behave viciously. Now that the lion is in a civilized environment, he will behave like a deer. All animals are really equal. And your religious leaders tell you that God loves all animals the same, so there is no biblical grounds for prejudice against any animal. The moment the lion bites off your hand, you realize that heredity has made the lion what it is. But if you try to tell others about this or discriminate against lions, the government will fine you, the media will call you names, and the religious leaders will regard you as being ungodly. This is the situation in the world today in regards to racial issues. We experience the facts of racial heredity every day, but the powers that be will not acknowledge them and, in fact, work to conceal them. We thus are forced to suffer the consequences of this situation. Let us ask some questions about race differences to see why they exist. Why do we have race riots across the country and around the globe? Why is there affirmative action, racial quotas, and equal opportunity, which favors non-white races? Why are mental aptitude tests and IQ scores of blacks and Hispanics always significantly lower than whites or Asians? Why are the inner cities, where mostly blacks and Hispanics live, dirty, run down, and crime-infested, while the suburbs, which are mostly white, are clean, organized, and peaceful? Why do we have a push for multiculturalism, pluralism, sensitivity training, and hate crime laws since 1964? Before this, when America was 90% white, none of this existed or was needed. Why do blacks commit the majority of crime? Why could white Europeans build ships to take them across the ocean and send men into space all within a few hundred years, while African Negroes had not devised a wheel in 30,000 years? The answer to all these questions and most racially oriented questions is the same: hereditary differences. These issues are as much a matter of heredity as are the different types of hair, nose shapes, or skin color among the races. But as long as the races are regarded as equal or of one blood, such problems will only get worse. Race issues and problems exist because of heredity. Now the Christians, most of whom are humanists, and the creationists, most of whom are evolutionists, never deal with any of the above-mentioned problems. They can't argue against cold, hard facts. So, instead, they attempt to sidetrack these issues by raising some superficial and often frivolous argument. They say we are more alike than different, that God loves everyone the same. We thus are to believe that the hereditary differences are of no importance. In support of their doctrine, these Christians will sometimes quote from Antichrist sources which distort the facts, as follows. Reporting on research conducted on the concept of race, the American ABC News Science page stated, "More and more scientists find that the differences that set us apart are cultural, not racial." Footnote. One Blood, page 52. End footnote. It is known that genetics affects the personality, intelligence, temperament, and moral character of an individual. These things affect the type of culture a people will have. So while it is true that cultural differences set people apart, their cultural traits are largely due to race and heredity. Let's face it. If Negroes, Asians, and Hispanics could assimilate in American culture, there would be no affirmative action, no high black illegitimacy rate, no need for hate crime laws, and the inner cities would be nice places to live. The fact is, they don't assimilate. That is why we have the black community or Asian Americans. None of these people are regarded as plain Americans, like those of European heritage. The reason is a difference in heredity, which makes them possess their own physiology, morals, and thoughts, which sets them apart from white America. Now, one of the foolish arguments that the egalitarians and humanist Christians make to show that we are all equal involves skin color. They say that we all have the same coloring pigment in our skin, melanin. If we produce a little melanin, it means that we will be European white. If our skin produces a great deal of melanin, we will be a very deep black, a Negro. Footnote. One Blood. Page 58. End footnote. So, I guess if we can somehow suck out the melanin from the skin of Negroes, they will become white Europeans. They will no longer have kinky hair, large lips, prognathous jaws, receding foreheads, flat noses, or detached pointed ears. It will probably cause them to increase their IQ 15 points, become less violent, and commit less crime as well. This, of course, is a foolish response to a foolish argument. Melanin can also be found in the skin of many animals. Then, according to the argument of the egalitarians, we are really the same as animals since we all have melanin. They also use the evolutionary explanation for different skin colors, that dark skin is an environmental adaptation that developed, or evolved, to protect people in areas of high solar radiation from sunburn. Everyone knows that there are numerous exceptions to this theory which can't be explained. The fact is, a Negro population could spend 6,000 years in the northern climate, and they will never become red, white, or yellow. Just when did these skin colors develop anyway? We have evidence from Egyptian tomb paintings that show the different races, red, black, white, and yellow, existing over 4,000 years ago. Another erroneous argument used to show racial equality is why Asians have different eyes than Caucasians. Generally, whatever feature we may look at, no people group has anything that is, in its essence, uniquely different from that possessed by another. For example, the Asian, or almond-shaped eye, gets its appearance simply by having an extra fold of fat. Both Asian and Caucasian eyes have fat. The latter simply have less of it. Footnote. One Blood. Pages 59 through 60. End footnote. The statement that there is nothing that any race has which is uniquely different from that possessed by another is certainly a contender for the all-time stupid statement award. If you line up a Chinaman, along with a Negro, Caucasian, Indian, and Australian, and cover up their faces except for their eyes, everyone would be able to pick out the Chinaman from the other races. Why? Because the Asian eye is uniquely different. Footnote. There are dozens of features and characteristics which one race has which are uniquely different from others. The hair of Chinamen is round and straight, while the hair of Negroes is flat and kinky. These unique attributes have existed for thousands of years because they are a matter of heredity. End footnote. They say that both Asian and Caucasian eyelids have fat, except that Asians have more of it, and so they are both the same species. But gorillas and chimpanzees have fat on their eyelids, so I guess they are the same species as Asians and Caucasians. Actually, the Asian eye is due to other factors than just fat in the upper eyelid. It is also formed by the upper cheekbone structure, the muscles surrounding the eye, and skin fold under the eye, the shape of the eyeball, the size and shape of the eye socket, and even eyelashes all cause the Asian eye feature. The laws of heredity keep each species as it is, reproducing the same characteristics in the offspring. Each cell contains within its nucleus the DNA, chromosomes, and genes that have all the genetic information for creating the organism from which the cell came. There is only one place that cells can come from, and that is from pre-existing cells. All organisms that God originally created had their genetic information in their cells, and that information was passed on to succeeding generations. Genetic information copies itself. A buffalo will produce a buffalo, not a steer or an ox. This is in accordance with the biblical principle of kind after kind. Both evolutionists and creationists are against this law of heredity, as both of their concepts require change to occur. Thus, creationists have adopted the evolutionary idea that natural selection causes enough change so that it could produce an Asian, a Negro, a Caucasian, and a pygmy from one genetic stock. This evolutionary concept claims that some people adapted better to certain environments. But how did the environment cause the jaw of the Negro to protrude out and his forehead to recede back, while causing the European jaw to be straight and his forehead raised high? How could natural selection cause a flat, broad nose to be formed in one environment and a long, pointed nose to be formed in another? Apparently, this natural selection is an extremely powerful force to cause such distinct changes in such a short time. If that is the case, why is there not one documented case of this force observed changing one species into another in 2,000 years? Because it doesn't exist in that manner. Creationists claim that with their version of natural selection, there is no mechanism by which new information is added to genes. But why is an Australian Aborigine the way he is, and a European the way he is? Different genetic information is the answer. If there is different genetic information between them, then new information had to be created if they came from the same parents. Modern-day creationists also accept the evolutionary concept that mutations can form different types. Mutations occur because of the curse that resulted from the judgment because of sin, recorded in Genesis 3. Because the curse has operated in this world for around 6,000 years, there are now lots of mutations affecting the genes of living things. Footnote, One Blood, page 44, end footnote. They mention wingless beetles and the poodle as examples of forms brought about by mutations. They say that these mutant creatures are due to the effects of 6,000 years of the curse. What curse? It is in Genesis 3, verses 17 through 18. And unto Adam he, God, said, Because thou hast heeded unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. These verses say nothing about animals being cursed. Any Bible authority will state that this passage means Adam would now have to toil in the ground to get food, unlike Eden, where food was easy to obtain. The curse does not cause mutations. While mutations are a common subject in discussions about the origins of life, No evidence exists that shows new species are created by this degenerative process. The authors of One Blood also make this statement. Darwin was correct about natural selection. We do observe small changes in living things, and many new species of animals and plants have arisen. However, now that we understand more about the science of genetics, we know that the process of natural selection and mutation can never form new kinds of animals or plants, but only new species or varieties within the same kind. Footnote, One Blood, page 46, and footnote. If these people were any truly good students of the Bible, they would know that the word kind is used in Genesis to mean species. Footnote, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Old Testament, number 4327, and footnote. Further, if they think a wolf transforming into a poodle is a small change, then they have no sense of proportion. Obviously, when you are allowed to make up your own definitions and standards, it is easier to make your theory work. This shows that creationists are nothing more than evolutionists. Why is it so difficult to believe that God created each creature with various characteristics that were suited to the environment in which He placed them? The evolutionists look at this divine order and say life forms adapted to their environment and that is how they came to be. Unfortunately, the dim-witted creationists believe this also. In trying to show that the differences between races are not significant, humanist Christians often state that the genetic differences between any two people is only 0.2 or 0.3%. That means they are 99.7 to 99.8% the same. Of course, they don't mention that these same sources say that the genetic similarity between chimpanzees and humans is in the area of 98.5 to 99.6%. When creationists use this 0.2% difference figure for human races, they leave the impression that the difference between humans and simple bacteria is close to 100%, when in fact it is 65%. The difference between humans and corn is 32.3%, and between humans and a mouse, it is 8.7%. But even when there is a 0% difference in DNA, there still can be physiological differences. If you take a cell from your liver and your skin, they would contain the exact same DNA. But the liver looks and functions quite differently than the skin. So even with identical DNA, there is a hidden information system which we do not yet fully understand. Our DNA is made up of 4 billion nucleotides, which are the smallest part of DNA. They are linked in all possible arrangements, and the arrangements constitute a code conveying genetic information. Footnote, Paul A. Moody, Genetics of Man, W.W. Norton, 1975, page 39, end footnote. Even if the 0.2% difference between one race to another is correct, that would mean they differ by 8 million nucleotides. There is much more to the subject of genetics than creationists would like to admit.